And the reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you. Let me introduce myself. My name's Ben. I'm a curate at Kairos Church. I believe last week you had my boss speaking. I was tempted to make a joke there, but I'm not going to say anything more about that. I've been to St. Andrew's a few times so far during my curacy, and you've always been a real blessing to me, actually. And one of the blessings is in quite a funny way. At Kairos, we're a slightly different church, and so we don't have a whole lot of occasional offices, weddings, baptisms, funerals. So during the first couple of years in my curacy, I came here quite a bit to practice with Francis how to do funerals. So it's lovely to be here on a bit of a happier occasion with people that laugh at your jokes. That's great. I want us to think about the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost Sunday, the day when we remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the church, on those first disciples, and we pray for a pouring out, a renewal again and again. And you've been involved in the prayer, "Thy kingdom come," that our two archbishops have called last week, that we would pray for a renewing in confidence and joy and God's presence. And I want us to consider and ask ourselves, do we want the Holy Spirit? Do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want the Holy Spirit in your life and in your church? Do you really want the Holy Spirit? Let me warn you before you decide, the Holy Spirit's messy. The Holy Spirit is a little bit scary. I'm doing assemblies next week in a couple of schools on Pentecost, and I'm starting to think, how am I going to explain this to children? This is the weird bit of our faith. It's brilliant that our faith has a weird bit, but this is it. How am I going to explain it to children? Let me read a bit from Acts 2 that we looked at. "Suddenly there was the sound of a rushing wind. It filled the entire house. Tongues of fire appeared on each of them. and they spoke in different tongues. Do you want the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. There's power. And power can't be controlled. I want to share a bit of my experience of the Holy Spirit with you. I hope that's okay. And I want us to seriously consider this question. Do we want the Holy Spirit in our lives? My first experience of the Holy Spirit was when I was 12, and I went on a mission summer camp with a mission agency. And it was around the time that Holy Spirit things were beginning to kind of happen in a new way in God's church. And so one evening we were worshipping and we were praying, and someone said, well, let's minister in the Holy Spirit. And I had no idea what that meant. And some people prayed and everyone around me fell down. And I didn't. And I was a 12-year-old trying to process things I didn't understand. I thought, well, that must be what happens. So I lay down. I pretended to fall down. And everyone was very happy. And then I got up and I thought, what's happened there? Is there more? Have I just gone along with a religious thing? Or is there more going on? And actually that experience shaped me, not always in a positive way. Seeing others responding, knowing that I hadn't felt that response, but pretending to respond at the same time. So my hunger for the Spirit is shaped by that experience. It's shaped by going to a large charismatic church as a student and encountering people praying for the Holy Spirit, more falling down, more noise, more shouting, and being a bit scared, thinking, I can't understand this. I can't quite fit in where this goes in my worldview and my understanding. Some change is going to have to happen. And having to back off a little and then decide, no, actually, I do want this. The Pentecostal writer, Tozer, says this. I think it's fantastic. After a person is convinced they can be filled with the Spirit, they must desire to be. Are you sure you want to be possessed by a Spirit who, while he's pure and gentle and wise and loving, will yet insist on being Lord of your life? Lord of your life. This is God we're talking about. God who filled his church at Pentecost and will fill us if we want it. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Despite my early experiences, I have to say that increasingly my answer is yes. Yes, I want more of your Spirit. I think I've become more charismatic as I've got older. I'm 37, so I can probably say I'm older now. I think I can get away with that. I've become more charismatic. And a couple of things have happened that have helped me on that. The first is realizing that that though the Spirit is the fire and the thunder and the loud voice, the Spirit is also the still small voice and the quietness and the peace. Fire, an image we often use for the Spirit. Water, an image we also use. And realizing that the same Spirit might cause response in me in different ways at different times and in different people at different times. The second thing that's helped me be hungry for more of the Spirit is realizing that actually whatever the external response, that's not the main thing. Whether I fall over and there's lots of shouting and there's a speaking in a strange language, as we read about in Pentecost in Acts, or whether there's a quieter, more contemplative response happening, that's not the main thing. The main thing is the inside response. What's happening within me and within the church that may not immediately be seen. And I want us to think about three things the Spirit does. I'll try and go through these fairly quickly. The first is the Spirit seals. Ephesians 1:13 says, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit seals. A seal is a mark you belong to someone. A piece of jewellery, if it's quality, might have a seal on it to show you who made it. A wax mark placed on a letter in ancient times would have the seal of the person sending it, particularly if they were important, on their ring maybe, or on a stamp, the seal on it to show that this was indeed their work and their words. When I want to cook a really good steak, I put it in the pan and sear it. I seal the edges so that the flavour, so that the juices don't leak out as I'm cooking. The Spirit works in those ways. It seals. Seals in God's people. What does the Spirit seal? It seals our identity. It seals our future. The Spirit works in our hearts to show us we're God's. You, if you're a Christian, belong to God. The Spirit is the seal of that. So when you feel the Holy Spirit, it's a reminder that you're God's. It's a sealing, the fact that you're his beloved child. You don't need to worry. You don't need to fear the future. You don't need to fear what's going to happen because you're God's beloved child. And because your father is also the king, you're his representative. Look at Peter in the Pentecost reading. Shortly before, he's been with the disciples, hiding in a room, probably still echoing the conversation he's had with Jesus and the feelings of letting him down after abandoning him before the cross. The Holy Spirit comes, and moments later, he's preaching on the streets with confidence. How's that transformation happened? The Spirit seals. The Spirit has sealed a new identity on him. Do you sometimes wonder if you're actually a Christian? Perhaps you've said a prayer and invited Jesus into your life and asked him for forgiveness, but you wonder. Do you wonder if God really loves you? I used to be terrified of people, used to be ashamed of certain things in my past. I think if they really knew, if they really found out, if I get close enough to them, they'd know. And so I'd back off. Do you find you're afraid or worried? And you can't quite explain why. Do you find yourself getting angry suddenly for no reason? You think, where did that come from? Do you still regularly do things you're ashamed of, that you know are wrong? It may be that what the Lord wants to do is seal something in you. The Spirit seals. Do you want the Holy Spirit? The Spirit sends. I love your banner with the dandelion clock. The Spirit sends. Are you willing to be sent and noticed in every area of this community? Straight after the encounter with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the noise and excitement spills onto the street, and people notice. And the disciples look different. People say, what's going on? Are these folk drunk? Jesus says, as the Father sends me, I send you. He sends us all. It's not just the celebrities. It's not just the gifted individuals. He sends us, his church, into his world. The Spirit sends. You're sent to your workplace, to your school, to your community, to the cafes that you visit, the shops, to your home, to your family. The Spirit sends. Sends with power and authority. Do you want the Holy Spirit? And the Spirit saves. Now, I might get in trouble for this, so let me just add a little nuance. Jesus has saved. Jesus has done everything we need to be saved. His work on the cross once and for all has settled that. But the Spirit saves. The Spirit works in our lives so that salvation is rolled out to others, to enable others, those we're sent to make a decision. You do Alpha sometimes here, don't you? How many countless people have come into salvation through Alpha, been rescued from a life without God to a life with God through Alpha? It's brilliant. One of the reasons, I think, is probably because there's such a centre on the Holy Spirit within the Alpha course. We did one fairly recently, and it was wonderful, beautiful to watch a guy with quite significant things going on in his life encounter the Holy Spirit for the first time. And there was a bit of shaking. And we said to him afterwards, what was happening? He said, for the first time, I felt warm, I felt peaceful, I felt loved. That was before he made a decision to follow Jesus. Subsequently, he did. The work of the Holy Spirit saves. It shows people through you what salvation looks like. This isn't an Alpha thing, it's a Holy Spirit thing. And I love watching it happen. Whether it's dramatic, 3,000 people in the passage in Acts we're told about, or whether it's slower and quieter, one individual in your life, noticing the difference God's making in you, spending time with you, hearing your story, your testimony of faith, receiving your prayer, and so blossoming into new life. As they discover, they don't have to live away from God, they can live with Him. The Spirit saves. Do you long for friends and family to encounter a relationship with Jesus? Do you long for people there to know what we've got here, out in the streets, to be rescued from confusion and fear and darkness? I do. And I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit. I want more sealing. I want more my identity. I want more sending, and I want more saving. I long to be a Christian who's actually effective in my walk following Jesus, who's confident in my identity, who's willing to be sent and saved to people that only God knows. Who knows where we might be sent to? Who knows who might be saved as we cooperate? Ephesians 5 says, don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want more of the Spirit in your life, though He will insist on being Lord? Do you want more of the Spirit in your church? Let's pray for a moment. I know we're going to do intercessions in a second, but let's pray together. Just hold out your hands. There's a really ancient prayer on the screen. It says, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill the hearts of your people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Just be still and wait for a moment. Keep your hands open. Wait and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you if you want Him to. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Kindle in us the fire of your love.